Welcome to Unity of Fairfax, a positive path for spiritual living and spiritual center for education, practice, and service in Northern Virginia. We hope you find inspiration in this week's message.
We're going to continue this morning with our ongoing the Lenten season journey to transcendence series, which has been going on, where we will today look at the concept of curiosity. First, I'd like to take a moment to thank all of you who instilled your time, your talent, and your knowledge in putting this series together. It's been wonderful for me to be able to read that. Albert Einstein wrote, "The important thing is not to stop questioning. Curiosity has its own reason for existence. One cannot help but be in awe when he contemplates the mysteries of eternity, the mysteries of life, the mysteries of the marvelous structure of reality." The dictionary defines curiosity as the desire to learn, know about anything, be inquisitive, a curious, rare, or novel thing. Curiosity is one of these qualities that Spirit instilled in us. Spirit also gave us this concept of free will. And by means of these two qualities, curiosity and free will, we have the power to advance our life experience as far as we choose. Ernest Holmes wrote, "To suppose that God would make man as an individual without leaving him to discover himself would be to suppose an impossibility." Curiosity, freedom, creativity work together to create that friction which propels us forward into discovery. So today we're going to take a few minutes to look at some of the ways that we can cultivate this consciousness of discovery, this consciousness of curiosity. Now, one of our greatest examples of pure, unadulterated curiosity is our children. Children are just wonderful examples. There is a reason that they call it the terrible twos, because when children get to that place where they become mobile, they're curious about everything. They are completely in the joy of discovery. When they get out there and they start moving around, they want to touch everything. They want to pull on everything. They want to stick everything in their mouths. They want to throw things, shake things, pull things apart. And when they come upon something that responds to their energy, like a noise or something falling apart or something bouncing back at them, they just laugh and they just giggle and they just get into this scramble around trying to figure out how to make it happen again. We can gain a little fire for our source of curiosity by observing our children. Because as we become adults and find ourselves taking on more life responsibilities, we can find ourselves living by means of routine. We find a routine in our life that just keeps things moving forward. And sometimes we get so good at living in that routine that we find ourselves in a rut. Now, when we find ourselves in a rut, we have probably reached that place in our thinking of saying, okay, you know what? I think I got this. I got this thing. I got it handled. I got it working for me. I'm understanding it, and life is good. And at the same time, we're slowing down our opportunities to engage in curiosity. And we slow that process down. We get out of this interest of curiosity for fear of rocking the boat. We got it handled. I got a grip on life. I got a grip on my kids. I got my schedule down. If I get too curious about anything else, it's going to rock my boat. And then what do I do? Cultivating an attitude of curiosity begins with a willingness to question things in our lives and in the world around us with no attachment to the answer. Now, you know, my definition of the word willing is saying yes, whether you want to or not. So when we give ourselves permission to become curious about things around us with no attachment to the answer, we're demonstrating a depth of freedom. Now, even if we consider ourselves the world's foremost authority on any given subject, I mean, and that includes being the foremost authority on our own lives, taking some time to pretend we are getting to know a subject, including ourselves, for the first time, with the same sense of wonder as those children, opens up new perspectives, new ideas, new opportunities, and new growth. Now, when we choose to live in a state of curiosity, it's easier to remain open. It's easier to remain receptive to new things and other opinions, other ideas. And now add a dash of our curiosity, add a dash of our creativity, include that freedom, and marvelous things can happen. Another way to cultivate our curiosity, our conscious curiosity, is take time to be observant of someone that you feel embodies conscious curiosity. Spend some time observing that individual's behavior. Pay attention to what they talk about, what interests them, what questions they ask, how they approach other people, their attitude about life, what activities that they engage in, and the reasons for participating in these activities. Turn your observation skills on. Because as we stand in observation of these individuals, we can ask ourselves how we feel about how that person goes about learning things. It's interesting to have a concept of going about with an attitude and a consciousness of learning things. I know I watch all of the NCIS TV shows, and on the NCIS New Orleans TV show, King says to his staff, learn things, go out and learn things, and come back and tell me what you know. So they turn on their curiosity and they go out and learn things. And these things help them go about solving their cases. We can observe how people treat one another. We can observe how people react to the world around them. And at some point, we can give ourselves permission to try that person's process on for size. Emulate some of their behaviors, and observe how it makes you feel. Curiosity can be a key factor in our lives on so many levels. During the years that I was working as an actor, one of the things my acting teacher shared with us students was that the actor's biggest challenge is that they've read the script and they know what happens in the end. Having the information about knowing what happens in the end can really stifle an actor's performance. It can stifle the freshness and the honesty of each scene as they go along because the actor knows how this is going to end. Our teacher asked us, as actors, to instill some curiosity into the characters that we portrayed. Instill that element of curiosity as we engaged in conversation with the other character. A sense of curiosity about one another as we engage in, as the characters engage in the scene, helps keep the actors in the present moment, as well as continue the scene and the story to move forward without anybody worrying about what happens in the next scene, and how we get to the end. It really allows the actor to engage in some in-the-moment emotional honesty. Another means of cultivating conscious curiosity is embracing the idea of the beginner's mind. You know, every day we get up, we have an opportunity to begin again. So when we get up in the morning, we can establish, or really at any time of day, we can establish this idea of having a beginner's mind and how we look at things. Shunryu Suzuki, author of Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, wrote, "In the beginner's mind, there are many possibilities. In the expert's mind, there are few." When we consider ourselves experts, we're likely to be in a rut about how we approach things. If we see ourselves as experts experiencing life by means of the beginner's mind, we're likely to discover some new ways of doing things. We're likely to release the stronghold that we have on the way we have to do it now, and that's the only way it can be done, and find some different strategies. If we can give ourselves permission not to know, we don't have to know everything. We can also be pleasantly surprised by how much we consider and how much we discover about the depth of our own creativity. Having a beginner's mind and being curious about yourself means you get to know yourself again and again and again. You get to discover your talents again, your passions again, your strengths again, and even your weaknesses. Mark Twain wrote, "The two most important days in your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why." So by means of a consciousness of curiosity, every single day, we can discover more about why, what it is that we're here to do. As we grow and grow and grow into our self-awareness, we can discover more about what it is we're here to do and how to do it, what it is we're here to give. And I'm telling you, we can discover some fantastic things. When I was a child, I learned to walk and talk quite early. And my favorite curiosity thing were other people. I found people fascinating. To this day, I find people fascinating. I was one of those kids that would wander away and talk to anybody that would talk to me. One of the many ways that I made my mother nuts. And as you can see, I'm still here talking. So to avoid the issue that came along for me as a child, My parents put my brother and I into a private elementary school because we grew up in the 60s where they were desegregating the schools here in Virginia. And this particular school proved to be an utopia for me. There were kids from all walks of life. There were kids from all religions. There were kids from all races. There were kids from all creeds. There were kids from other countries. I got to make friends and learn so much about other families, their traditions, their religious practices, their stuff from different countries, and different types of food. All of this contributed to me becoming a psychology major, to me becoming an entertainer, to me becoming a minister, to me becoming someone who likes to travel, and for me becoming a foodie. So my level of curiosity helped me as a child overcome a lot of the stereotypical things and prejudices that were going on in the world at the time I was in elementary school. You know, as a child, I got to go visit a synagogue with one of my Jewish friends. I got to go to Mass with one of my Catholic friends. I got to take a tour of a mosque with one of my Muslim friends. So by the time I was 13, I had a mini discovery of the world, which continued to feed my curiosity about people. Another thing curiosity did for me was bring me closer to God. That was my biggest discovery. I grew up a Baptist. And in the church I went to as a child, big old huge church, they used to have Sunday school in the basement. So all the kids would go to Sunday school in the basement. And when you got old enough to go upstairs and sit in the sanctuary with the adults, they would send you up there. Now, when we were in the basement in Sunday school, we learned all about Jesus. We learned all about how Jesus loved people. Jesus cared for people. Jesus forgave people. Jesus loved the children. When I got older and I went upstairs to sit in the sanctuary, I began to hear talk about judgment. I also began to see and hear congregants standing in the church lawn, engaging in gossip and judgment of one another. And in my curiosity, I wondered, what happened to that Jesus in the basement? Where'd he go? Unbeknownst to me at the time, my curiosity began to rise, and it led me to a Quaker college where I learned about silent meditation. And I got a new perspective of a peaceful, loving, non-judgmental God. When I started working in show business as a human resource director, the assistant that was in the job, when I was hired into it, told me when I first started that she had planned to leave to go to ministerial school. And I was curious, and I said, well, what school are you going to? And she said, well, I'm going to be attending a metaphysical school. Well, I didn't know the first thing about metaphysics. So I bid her farewell after about 2 weeks, and she was off on her school adventure. The following summer, she called me and asked me if, while she was on her summer break, if there was any work in my office and could she come back to work. And it so happened to turn out that my current assistant at that time, I had let her go to work on the 1984 Olympic basketball team, process while the Olympics were going on. So I said to this previous one, come on back. Absolutely. Well, when she came back, my curiosity overwhelmed me, and I picked her brain about metaphysics and religious science. And as she shared what she learned, The principles of metaphysics and religious science rang so true to my soul. And as they say, the rest is history. So lastly, I offer the idea of trying something new. When was the last time you tried something new? Completely new. Trying something new doesn't mean that we have to create some grandiose process. Of course, grandiose is good if you've got time and energy and whatever to create a grandiose. But start with some of the small things that we can do. Learn a new recipe. Learn to play a new game. Learn to dance. Learn to sing. Learn to play an instrument. Start an herb garden. Take a class. Learn a language. A few years ago, when I was doing full-time caregiving for my mother, I decided I had to find something fun for myself to do. And I did something that I had planned to do when I was living in California for 30 years and never got around to it. I decided I wanted to go learn to speak Spanish. So, ahora estoy tomando clases españoles y me gusta. Embracing curiosity involves playfulness, lightness, and openness. All of these are fun qualities. Living in a consciousness of curiosity, it's difficult to be in a bad mood. As you practice living in a consciousness of curiosity, freedom, and creativity, our lives are propelled into glorious discovery. So I leave you with some words from an author that I like so much, whose body of work has been under a little scrutiny this week. But this particular passage is one of my favorites of his, so I leave you with a passage from Dr. Seuss. Congratulations! Today is your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. You have brains in your head. You have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose. You're on your own, and you know what you know. And you are the guy who'll decide where to go. With God, all things are possible. And so it is.
Thank you for tuning into Unity of Fairfax podcast. You're welcome to join us live in Oakton, Virginia, every Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. or view our live stream services from our website at unityoffairfax.org. We appreciate your donations to support this podcast to make our message of positive, practical spirituality more accessible to all. See you next time.